Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Some, if not possibly many Americans, believe our current national crisis is due to an outdated or inefficient constitution, and some are calling for a constitutional convention to fix the problems that apparently our founding fathers did not or could not foresee. Many are asking whether Congress is even willing to make the necessary changes to possibly rein in or redefine some of its power. Has Congress shown any willingness to limit the government's power? If Congress doesn't appear willing to do what needs to be done, should the country hold its first constitutional convention, or CONCON, since the convention of 1787 that drafted the Constitution? Would such a convention solve our problems and get the nation back on course, or does it pose dangers to not only our Constitution but our American way of life? My guest today is Phyllis Schlafly. She has been a national leader of the conservative movement since the publication of her first best-selling 1964 book, A Choice, Not an Echo. She's been a leader of the pro-family movement since 1972, when she started her national volunteer organization, now called Eagle Forum. In a 10-year battle, Mrs. Schlafly led the pro-family movement to victory over the principal legislative agenda of the radical feminist that was called the Equal Rights Amendment. Phyllis Schlafly was named one of the 100 most important women of the 20th century by Ladies' Home Journal. And she is the author or editor of 20 books on subjects varied from family and feminism, nuclear strategy, education, childcare, and phonics. Her most recent book is The Supremacist, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It. Thanks, Phyllis, for being with us today.
Well, I'm very happy to join you.
You know, as we look at what's going on in Washington and politicians who are out of control, many people are wondering, well, do we need to fix the Constitution? Some are talking about a constitutional convention. Where's the very idea of a constitutional convention or of amending the Constitution? Where's that? Is that a constitutional concept?
Well, first of all, I want to say that in the words of the old adage, I think calling a national convention to deal with the Constitution would be like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You don't know what could happen. All we know about it is what is in Article 5, which means if two-thirds or 34 of the states ask Congress to call a convention, Congress shall call it for considering amendments in the plural. Now, I can only think that the people who are pushing this have never been to a convention and don't know what goes on. I have been to 15 Republican National Conventions, and I can tell you I have seen every crooked maneuver that you could possibly think up.
You mean even the Republicans do things
Republican,
like that?
Republican. Yes. I don't go to Democratic
right,
conventions,
I
but I have no reason to think they're any more honest than Republican.
Right.
And what the guy who's wielding the gavel can do whatever he wants. And I have seen them cut off the mics of people they didn't want to hear from, recognize only people they want, disallow duly elected delegates, offer good government jobs to people who voted right, another illegality, adjourn early so you can't get your motion in. Every crooked deal you can think of.
And this
the guy with
guy.
The gavel runs it. And so there are people who don't like our Constitution,
and this
would give them an enormous opportunity. It would be the media event of the century.
Absolutely. When we look at Article 5 of the Constitution, there's two ways that it can be done. Either Congress can do it, as there have been attempts, I'm thinking of most recently the attempt to get a marriage protection amendment in the Constitution. And there's that way where Congress can do it, or there's also, as you mentioned, the way where two-thirds of the states, if their state legislative bodies pass a bill calling for a national constitution convention, and we have 34 of those, then
yes, and the people who are promoting this, I think, falsely tell people that whatever the state resolutions have in the text of their resolution can bind the convention. That's ridiculous. We have no idea. how the delegates would be elected, how they would be apportioned, who would pay them, where they would meet, because there are no rules. The only thing we know is that it must be called if the states call for it, mm-hmm. and that they can consider amendments in the plural. And, you know, most of these state resolutions say they want it for just one sole amendment, mm-hmm. and there are different amendments. Some want a balanced budget amendment, some want a debt limitation, some want to get rid of the Electoral College. There are all kinds of people who don't like our Constitution, and it is what has lasted more than two centuries. It's the most wonderful Constitution ever invented, and I think it has within it all the remedies that we need.
Well, I agree. So if we had 34 states passing those
resolutions.
Right, the resolutions, then we could actually have 34 different amendments proposed.
That's right, we could.
Wow.
We could, and you know, one of the new heroes in these modern controversies is Virginia's Attorney General Cuccinelli, mm-hmm. and because he's the one who got a court to say that Obamacare is unconstitutional.
Right.
Well, he stood on the steps of the state capitol in Richmond a few weeks ago, and here's what he said, and I quote, "What about a runaway convention? Yes, mm-hmm. it is true that once you assemble a convention that states have called, they can do anything they want," close quote.
Well, and he just said that, within the last few weeks?
Yes, it was about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. So he's on the ball. I mean, he understands what can take place.
Yeah, he understands politics.
And that's good. Now, back, I think it was during the 70s and 80s, there were actually 32 state legislatures that passed resolutions calling for a constitutional convention specifically for a balanced budget amendment. They had 32. They only needed two more to get that done. Is that still something, or is that dead in its tracks? Or if two more states were to pass such a resolution, would there be a convention?
You were asking a question that nobody has the answer to.
Okay.
This is a plunge into the unknown.
Oh, wow.
Nobody knows how they would be counted. Do we want the courts to decide that?
No,
I mean, a lot of these ideas are giving new powers to the courts.
Okay.
Or even to the president.
Wow.
And we just don't want to tamper with our Constitution. And you can imagine, you saw all those demonstrations in Madison, mm-hmm. that were so unlike American behavior. Well, a convention to deal with the Constitution would be the media event of the century.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the special interest groups, just imagine the people who want to get rid of the Second Amendment, the people who want to get rid of the Electoral College, the pro-abortion people who want to put abortion in the Constitution.
The pro-same-sex marriage people, right?
Pro-same-sex marriage. They would all be demonstrating and carrying on. And we don't need that.
No, we don't need that. You know, American.
And you see, nobody knows the answers to these questions because there is no law that sets the rules or procedures. And as I say, once a convention is called, it's on its own. The guy with the gavel can do whatever he wants.
Right. As Article 5 there in the Constitution says, it says, shall propose amendments, plural.
That's right.
So it's not just going to be limited to one, such as they wanted with the balanced budget amendment. Now, Americans see a government out of control and believe a con to be a quick fix.
I would suggest that anybody really interested in this go on my website, eagleforum.org, and search for CONCON, and you will find a great deal of interesting material, including a very important letter from former Chief Justice Warren Burger. He said, absolutely, once a convention's called, there is absolutely no way to limit it. It's going to do whatever it wants.
And as you're saying, the guy with the gavel controls the debate.
That's right. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right, I agree. I think that the American people are, in fact, looking for a quick fix, and they don't understand.
There's no quick fix,
no.
And of course, we can't have a balanced budget today because that would require enormous tax increases that
mm-hmm.
the American people won't accept.
Right.
We're going to have to simply cut the spending. We made a little bitty, tiny step just this past
small
week,
fraction.
But the big issues are coming up. You know, another thing, they said they blamed the Republicans for bringing up social issues. All spending is a social issue. Everything they're spending for is some type of a social
mm-hmm.
issue.
Social programs and such.
And they claim you can't cut out abortion funding, but they want to call the spending for the so-called poor, the handouts to the unmarried, that's not a social issue?
Yeah.
Well, of course it is. It's just a social issue they like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they redefine social issues when they're the ones talking about their social issues.
That's right. Yeah.
I believe we don't need a con for sure. And what we need is more discipline on the part of politicians. I think that's the answer.
I encourage the Tea Parties to keep demanding that spending be cut. The spending is out of control and begins to look more and more like Obama's purpose is the strategy laid out by a major socialist named Frances Fox Piven many years ago. And her strategy was you should put so many people on government handouts, these means-tested and welfare handouts, that you break the private enterprise system.
Mm.
And it just looks more and more like that is exactly what he is doing.
Yeah.
We can't keep up what we're doing. But he's spending it anyway, and it's creating this debt, borrowed money from China, that will hang over our children and grandchildren
right.
for generations into the future.
Yeah, and the 111th Congress, the past Congress, created more new debt during their 2 years in power than the previous 100 Congresses did.
It's just incredible. My late friend, the great Senator Everett Dirksen of Illinois, used to say, a billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. And now it's a trillion here and a trillion there. People can't even grasp that.
There's a lot of good videos on YouTube that help us better understand what a trillion is, but it's just that number just is something that is impossible for the average person to understand. And I don't think politicians fully understand what $1 trillion is because it's not their money they're spending, it's our money they're spending.
No, and the people who are cut off, personally, I've done a number of articles about the whole federal spending for public school education has been a failure.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just a total failure. They could wipe the whole thing out and we'd be better off. The spending for things like the public radio and National Endowment for the Arts, they ought to wipe those out completely.
Yeah. The Department
There's no reason why the taxpayers should be supporting things like that.
Right, and the Department of Education itself, that's something that we don't need. I mean, that's unconstitutional
itself. Well, we got along fine until the Jimmy Carter regime without it.
And the kids did
if you look on my website, eagleforum.org, I have several articles on all the experts say that the federal spending on education has not accomplished any of the goals it laid out for itself. Even Arne Duncan, who's Obama's own Secretary of Education, said that I think it's 82% of the public schools are failing schools. It was
82.
It was a real blockbuster that he tossed
out there.
That's
they're getting a real bang for their buck there, and they want to keep dumping more money into that bottomless pit.
Yeah, and as Ronald Reagan said, when you start cutting, you ought to, first of all, cut the things that are doing more harm than good.
Yeah, and our education system definitely has not
And I think there are student loans for college education have done so much damage. It's just absolutely dreadful. The students who are coming out of college with enormous debts of 20, 30, 40,000.
Or even
and
more.
And it's a real impediment to marriage. You want to marry somebody who's got a $30,000 debt hanging over him or her.
$100,000, yeah. If you're talking about medical school and such, it can be $100,000 debt.
Yes.
I agree.
And all the remedies that we need are in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Congress just needs to act. Congress holds the key to the spending. It shouldn't be Obama presenting a budget at all. The budget ought to come out of the U.S. House.
That's what the Constitution says. That's what it absolutely says. And I was encouraged that one of the first thing that he did on the floor of the House in January was read the Constitution. That was encouraging. Now let's see if they keep reading it and understand what it says and how it does, in fact, limit their powers. Only
yes,
time will
and
tell.
So, I think so few people. You know, I fought the Equal Rights Amendment for years, and you can't believe how many times I went out to debate it with an opponent, with a feminist opponent, and she would say, well, we need the Equal Rights Amendment because we have to get rid of the language that says all men are created equal. Now, you know that's not in the Constitution. I don't think they ever read the Constitution.
No, probably not. I mean, it's such a long document, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a very short document.
I understand. Yeah, I understand that. One of the ways it amazed me is that they supposedly read 2,000-page bills that the 111th Congress passed, and supposedly, but yet they couldn't
With another 500 pages of amendments.
Right, true.
Yeah. I think they had something like 72 hours to read it all.
Yeah, again, as Congress, and some of the things you've listed with the student loans and the Department of Education, all that, that's Congress overstepping its constitutional authority. So the problem is not the Constitution. The problem is our lawmakers are not reading the Constitution. And I think that's because they like the power and they want to get more power. Many of them do anyway. They all are not that way. But so the problem is not the Constitution. The problem is how it's being ignored.
Yeah, the problem is they need to live up to the Constitution. Yeah. You know, the European socialist constitutions are all lists of entitlements, what people get out of government, what handouts they get. That's the way their constitutions are written. Now, there are no entitlements in our American... Our Constitution is a list of what government cannot do to us. And so it's an entirely different approach, and it's one that has kept our liberty all these years, and we ought to stand by it, and we shouldn't be tinkering around and give people the opportunity to think they can do a better job than George Washington and James Madison.
Right.
And I'm really worried about the people who think they're George Washington than James Madison today.
Yeah, because they definitely don't live up to their standards. You know, but what we have... Like Georgetown University law professor Randy Barnett and Tea Party leader Michael Patrick Leahy, who's calling for a constitutional convention. So you have these high-profile people calling for a convention. Is there any traction on the state level to get these any resolutions passed?
Well, it's promoted, and resolutions have been introduced in quite a few state legislatures. But it really hasn't passed, and it's time for the people to speak up and say, no way. So our Eagles are very well informed on this issue, since we're the ones who stopped it in the 1980s. The Constitution is just great. Don't let anybody tell you that the Constitution is unfair to women. The Constitution is a beautiful sex-neutral document. All the words are sex-neutral. There's nothing about men or women in the Constitution.
Right, right.
The words are words like citizen, resident, inhabitant, representative, elector, inventor, member, and we the people. They're all sex-neutral words.
Yeah, I think the average citizen who doesn't understand, I think their first job is to read the Constitution also.
Well, and a lot of people can't read words with more than one syllable.
Well,
that's
that
is the problem of the schools,
yeah.
But federal spending has not done anything to improve that.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, that may be part of the plan, is with the government getting involved in public education, then they graduate citizens who are not capable of getting a good job to earn the living that they need to get along.
All right, and I just came across here the statement of Chief Justice Warren Burger, who's probably the highest authority to speak on this subject. He said, there is no effective way to limit or muzzle the actions of a constitutional convention. The convention could make its own rules and set its own agenda. Congress or the states might try to limit the convention to one amendment or to one issue, but there is no way to assure that the convention would obey.
No way at all. So it'd be a total, again, as you were saying with the Republican conventions, it's the guy with the gavel and the people with, or the special interest groups with the biggest, loudest voice that will control that convention.
That's right, and you look at the news media and all of these changes of government by mobs in the street we've watched, like in Egypt and Libya and all these other countries. That's not our system.
No.
We don't want mob rule.
No,
we believe in the rule of law.
Right, right.
And our Constitution has kept our liberty and enabled our prosperity for a couple of centuries, and we don't want to be ruled by the mob in the street.
No, we absolutely want to avoid that. And again, we need to get back and become more educated on what the Constitution says and the guidelines that it has set down, because there are a limited number of things that Congress can do, the powers that they're given, and all three branches of the government are given certain powers. But they've
overstepped
those powers.
Right, and one of the funny things that these people promoting this convention say, oh, we're not calling a constitutional convention. We're trying to get an Article 5 convention.
What
in the world is it about? It's about dealing with amendments to the Constitution.
Oh,
anybody who's been in any kind of a convention knows that you can amend everything into nothing.
Yeah. Now, here on the state level, we actually have a bill that has been introduced. It's for a state constitutional convention. But
well, a lot of those have been successful. Okay. I don't know whether you need it or not. That's up for people in Pennsylvania. But many states have had conventions to deal with their state constitution, and so that's a matter for the people of that state to decide.
So it'd be more limited scope, obviously, since it's only a state.
But right.
But Representative Scott Conklin, who's the one who introduced this bill, wants an open convention, wants anything out there, you know, on the table. So he's not calling for any kind of limited convention. It's just, you know, whatever. So I'm kind of concerned about that.
Especially you need to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, when you get those people and they're heady with power and they think they can do anything.
Yeah.
Again, I refer people to my website, eagleforum.org. You can search for ConCon, and you can find all kinds of very helpful material.
Right. I definitely encourage folks to do that, and also encourage folks to keep an eye out for Representative Conklin's bill if it comes up for a vote, because he is wanting an open convention. And, you know, one of the statements is, our government is broken, it's dysfunctional, things need to get addressed that aren't being addressed. The fact is our legislature refuses to reform. You know, they're using some of the same arguments.
Well, I agree with most of that, but just my children say I'm an old adage person, and the old adage is don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
And that's very good advice, because you wouldn't be the only one getting burnt, because if they have an unlimited constitutional convention, there's no telling what's going to come out of it and who's going to get
burnt.
What
they would do.
Yeah, absolutely. So folks need to keep an eye on that. Plus, I encourage our listeners to read the Constitution. All three branches are limited on what they can do and how they've overstepped those boundaries. And I think our job is to rein in those branches back to the way that the Constitution had defined them. Let our legislators know that we're keeping an eye on them.
Absolutely. And, of course, that's what Eagle Forum has been doing for many years, is encourage people to be active in politics and be active in party politics so that you'll be able to nominate the right people.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of Pennsylvania, the way you elected the most number of new congressmen in this past year's election. It was wonderful, and they're all pro-life,
right.
And that's because good people went into the primaries and selected the right guy or woman to run.
Right, and we had good choices because people were fed up with the status quo, and we had some good choices this year. When some past years, we haven't necessarily had good choices, but we did this year, so that worked out well. So the best way for folks to contact you would be through the website?
Yes.
Okay, eagleforum.org.
Yeah, that's a wonderful website.
Yep,
it has so much on it.
Yes.
Students can write their term papers with a lot of the material on it, and you can learn all about our Collegians Conference coming up June 2nd and 3rd. It'll be wonderful. Another wonderful two-day Collegians Conference in Washington that's free to college students, where they'll get to meet with important conservative leaders and authors.
Okay. Well, I encourage folks to check that website out, eagleforum.org, because there's a lot of good information. Some of your audio and videos up there, plus information on this collegiate conference. So that's great. Thanks, Phyllis, for being with us. I appreciate all the hard work you've done. And your continued leadership.
All right. Well, I appreciate the American Family Association.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323. Or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.